the bi-weekly meeting podcast for the OWASP Top 10 for Large Language Model Applications. If you'd like to stay up to date with our project, please click subscribe. And if you enjoy the content or have any questions, please feel free to comment and share. Now, on to our meeting.
All right, everybody, welcome to the meeting. So I think we have a few normal pieces of business to cover out, but really the topic of today's meeting is a bit exciting, as we're going to use this as the official kickoff for the 2.0 project. And as we get into this, we'll have to figure out, what do we call it? Is it the 2024 version of the list? Is it 2.0? I don't know, but it's the same batch of work either way, so we might as well get started. So first off, I think it's worth just a quick note and quick review about where we've been over the last 6 months. For some reason, when I asked for a robotic wasp on a podium, Dali decided that the one on the top was second place, but I still like the picture, so we're going to roll with it. It is amazing to think that it's really just give or take 6 months since we started this project. I think I announced it in May and we didn't really kick it off until June, so right around 6 months. And we've accomplished an amazing amount. And, you know, it was just this week, one of my people that I work with at AWS posted a blog link from the AWS team, a very lengthy blog from AWS on LLM security that basically just, it was all about the OWASP Top 10. It was great. And so we see major commercial companies, we see these standards bodies over and over again getting involved with us, referencing our work. We've actually seen several actual entire startups founded out of this group. You know who you are if you are one, and some of you know who they are. Won't mention them by name, but it's more than one, and it'll be really interesting to see what happens in that commercial LLM security space, but we've been involved in that every step along the way. So I can tell you there's increasing awareness and interest in what we're doing. It's not something where we put out the first version and then people lost interest. I can tell you every post that I do about this gets more views and more likes and more attention than the last. And it's just great to see that overall trend. So along those lines, we did announce officially version 2.0, the project last week or this week. I guess it was just this Monday. Time flies. This is just a snapshot. I looked this morning, it was closer to 34,000 impressions that people have looked at, and, you know, 1,500 people who actually read the blog. One of the things I did ask people to do in the blog was fill out a survey to give us some idea what people were thinking about. I'll share some of the early results here, then talk about what we're going to do about it. And then since really we know the single goal that we've always said for 2.0 was we were going to be much more data driven, I've asked Emmanuel to give us some updates from the data gathering group that got spun up a few months ago. And then we can talk about how that rolls in with the project. So I looked this morning and we were up to 92 responses. So I'm going to let this run through the end of the weekend and see how many more we can gather up, see if we can get it over 100. I'm going to guess not everyone on this call has even filled out the survey. So if you haven't, go do it. But just a couple of quick observations about the data here. First observation from this is, in general, it seems like people who are responding to this think that we're on the right track. If you look at the predominance of the scores, it's mostly fours and fives, which were the highest possible ratings in terms of how useful people thought this was. You got two lonely people over on the side that didn't think it was very useful. And if nobody really disagreed with what you were doing, then, you know, it's probably too boring. So I'll take this for sure. The next few, I think there are some more interesting things that tell us something about our audience and what people are thinking. So first interesting thing here is We had very few people fill out the survey who were actually involved in the project. I think there were less people who filled out the survey and said they were participants than there are on this call today. So I would love to see a bunch more of you who are participating, either people who are here today or people who watch the recording. Just because you participated doesn't mean that we shouldn't get your thoughts into the initial survey. So please go do that. But on the flip side to that, the fact that a lot of the lurkers we have on the lists, and we know we have a lot of them, they were game to step up and give us their opinions. And perhaps even more exciting than that, almost half the people who responded said they hadn't participated in the group in any fashion before. So there's clearly a lot of interest in the fact that people have been willing to step up and just even take the first step of filling out the survey. I think that's great. Area of expertise. This surprised me. I don't know if it'll surprise any of you. I put, I think, five possible roles that people would have: software developer, security engineer, security researcher, data scientist, and executive. And I left a bucket for other. People seem to really like describing in very specific terms what they did. And so I got a lot of other votes. But the thing I will tell you first is there are very few developers in this group. In terms of people who identify as a software developer, it's a very small minority. And interestingly enough, I think we've always called that out as one of our major constituents and targets. I don't know whether we need to reevaluate that or whether we need to do a better job of reaching that audience, but it's something for us to consider. I'd say everybody outside of that blue slice, almost all of them identified as something that was security first, development second, rather than the other way around. So thought that was interesting. I came up with a list. I'm trying to think. I think maybe John had part of this list in something a couple of weeks ago. I added a few things to it and I just said, what are people interested in? First thing to observe here, people are interested in just about everything. You can look at the ones that have very tall green bars as things that people think are critical to look at. But if you even look at the things that have relatively short green bars, there's still a lot of people who answered this survey, a high percentage that viewed that area as critical or very important. So I think there was very little here that people looked at that said, nah, that's out of bounds. Even things that people really haven't probably thought a lot about, like embedding models and devices and things, which have been fringe topics that have occasionally come up for us. I think we're going to see more and more of all of these this year. So I think this is a good list of things we should at least be thinking about. And we'll do some more analytics on how people voted on this just to help guide the team. But I thought that was interesting. The other one here, just in terms of topics, some of these things are things that we very specifically addressed at the outset of the project, where we debated whether we were going to take on some of these topics. They were hotly debated at the time. Other than these things are things that have just come up through the course of working along, but you can get the sense for it. But the obvious first thing is, privacy and safety rated very, very high. Privacy and security are always somewhat strange cousins that are related but very different. I think sort of data privacy concerns and LLMs have become so intertwined in what people are worried about that very clearly this is something we should think about addressing in some fashion. The other one that was interesting was AI safety was the one that, went into the first draft charter, hotly debated. I think we decided at the time to leave some language in that included safety, but it's remained a key debate for us on and off for the whole 6 months that we've been here. From the people responding, and this again includes a lot of people who had never been involved before, very clearly things like safety are big concerns. The other thing is, every single category, even ones that you might consider fringe, like super alignment, sustainability, got substantial clusters of votes for critical or very important. So again, I feel like any of these are game for us to tackle as part of our work. So my plan with the survey is we'll leave that up through Sunday night Pacific time. Monday, we'll do some official tabulation on it. Ruben, who I think is relatively new to the group, reached out to me and offered to do tabulation and analytics on the data. And I am always game for a good volunteer to take on a task like that. So I'll send him the data. We'll get some stuff from him. I'll do some of my own. And my intent is to put out some kind of blog on behalf of the group on what we found. I think a lot of people will be interested in it, given especially people who filled out the survey, but also just the community at large, given we have tens of thousands of people who seem to like reading about what we're doing. This would be a good way to just get out some more thinking from the group. So any questions about the survey results or just comments from anyone that you want to share, just getting a peek at the early returns here?
I'm slightly not surprised on the low number of developers, Steve, because I think that reflects how slowly this is being integrated and custom build applications. I think hopefully we'll see more and more, but we need to up the game and bring more people in here. The rest doesn't surprise me. The rest, if anything, you know, the last slide that you had, I will mention that in my slot, I did a few engagements this week using the LLM top 10 and using the checklist. And there, you know, it's kind of the view is that we need to rethink security, not just kind of the security controls, but the ethics and all those things. So something to think about.
Okay. Anybody else? Comments, thoughts?
I got two thoughts. First one is I agree. I don't think I'm surprised by the lack of developers. I think even the web top 10 has a lack of developer awareness of interest. It's mostly security folks. And usually as a consultant, when I would bring up to developers, hey, go to the OWASP top 10 and look up how to stop cross-site scripting, it was always an education for them that that was even a thing. So I think we're not alone there. The other thing is one of the questions confused me on this, and it's great because they're actually both on this slide here. And that's the difference between safety and super alignment, and alignment was confusing to me. I'm not sure what the difference is there. And those kind of overlap in my head with ethics also a lot of ways. So it'd be interesting to see like the breakdown of those three categories specifically, and maybe do some deeper dives down the road to see what people thought those meant.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe one of the things to think about when we talk about the next phase, we want to get into some brainstorming and some discussions. And I think maybe forming up some of the discussions around these different topics and having people kind of contribute thoughts on that. I agree, you know, especially when you look at this one, the boundaries between any of these are not necessarily clean, right? Why are we making government regulations? Because we're worried about the ethics of what people are doing or the privacy stuff. Why are the regulations in the news every day? Because the news is all worried about AI taking over the world, which is where we get into things like super alignment. So you know, I did find it interesting that this group at the outset was very conservative about wanting to stay security focused. We had a lot of people in the group who were very adamant that, you know, that's not a vulnerability, you know, a lot of debate around those kinds of things. And then here we still see a lot of people in the group interested in these very broad topics like bias, super alignment, ethics. So, I think as a group, we got to find ways to tackle these while still staying focused on, you know, sort of the very technical aspects of security in terms of helping people shore up their applications, because it's such a big problem.
Well, I think part of the challenge, Steve, is that, you know, at the level that we're talking about these vulnerabilities, you know, it's almost too late to talk about bias. So I think as we have the other OWASP teams start to mature, maybe it'll be a time where we say, okay, that should be in the ML's, you know, top 10, or that should be over here in this bucket, so that we're all working in our zone, and not in letting other people tackle some of those more complex problems, you know, more efficiently at it, since it's that specific area.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else? All right. Appreciate everybody stepping up and sharing some thoughts. So again, we'll let the survey run out through the end of the week. I'm sure we can get it up over 100 responses, which would be a nice round number to make sure it feels somewhat statistically valid. But I think it was really largely meant as a guide to give the group something to rally around and think around while we do some fresh norming and storming around where we want to take the group this year. So along those lines, for those of you who were here for the whole journey for the original list, we started off with brainstorming for several weeks. We had a few different sprints of brainstorming. We did try to focus it in certain areas, and I will be putting out some guidelines and some places where we can do this, wiki pages, Slack channels. People will do it in different ways, but we'll try to give them some topics, but also just kind of keep it very open for a few weeks where people can bring those ideas, because I remember back from that early phase, a lot of things came up that I had never thought of before. And I think some of those things that came out of the early brainstorming phases were things that wound up being very influential in what we were doing. And if nothing else, it helped gel the group. And I think we are going to have a lot of new people who are going to want to join. So this is a good time for them to come in, get out their ideas broadly, and get involved. I have a lot of people reaching out to me directly, sending me LinkedIn messages and things like that, saying, hey, how can I get involved? And I've been pushing them off, saying, we're going to do the announcement on the project. We're going to make it obvious how to get involved. This will be the place to really direct people and get them started. One thing I will say is keeping this brainstorming at least a little bit on track was important last time, and it was a fair bit of work. And if we're going to have a lot of new people come into the group, having a few people who've been here for a while who are willing to help guide and shepherd some discussions and things, if you're game to do that, just reach out to me, drop me a DM on the OWASP Slack, and I will probably recruit you into this and give you a job as I start to put this together. The other thing I will say is, and I'll take this up with the core team as well, but a lot of the people on the call are on the core team, is I think there are people on the core team who are obviously actively involved on a day-to-day basis, and a lot of you are here on the call. I think there are also people on the core team who were involved at one point who have maybe gotten pulled off into other ventures, and that's great. So I probably will do a bit of a reset on the core team. I'll be reaching out there on the Slack channel to folks, reaffirming your interest in a role that you have, or are you interested in taking on something else? But we'll try to reset and tighten that up as well. And, you know, potentially make some space for some newcomers who are going to want to be super active and keep that core group fresh in terms of some of the decision making around the project direction. All right. So let's do some report outs. I think we first have a report out from Sandy and then Emmanuel, and then we'll see what else we got here. So Sandy.
Yep. So I'm working on the 1.0 version of the checklist. I've received great feedback on it. I'm going to push and try to, you see, this is a pretty tight timeline. I'm going to work really hard. I'm still waiting on comments from one or two people, but hopefully get it done next week, and to Jason, get it to the rest of the team to review, and then get it published by February 14th is my goal.
And just answering some questions in the chat from Ken, I did reply in the chat as well. I have not put out a sign-up sheet yet for core team members and things. I was just warning y'all it's coming, so probably be coming in the next week or so. So if you're on the core team, be watching the core team alias for that. Ads, you want to jump in and make your comment here? Or is Ads on another call and is just typing? I'll read his comment. In my opinion, we are not digging deep enough into vulnerabilities and need separate alignment privacy as different channels. I do think in terms of Slack and things like that, spinning up some channels around some of these various topics. I think we will do that as some of the brainstorming. Based on what comes out of that, we'll see what we kind of filter back into the core of the project and perhaps what become other sub projects. I think Sandy's checklist here is a good example of something that was a divergence from the intent of the core top 10, and we managed to keep that focus without diluting it, but while still creating something for a different audience that was really important. And so some of those topics, I think, are things the group might take on. Potentially without diluting that that top 10 thing. Ah, and Mike has joined us. Mike and I were messaging. For those of you who are new to the group,
Hey, Mike.
was the MVP for the 1.0 version of the list, did a huge amount of work and got sucked into real life work stuff. He reached out this week and asked about joining back in. You want to just say hi, Mike?
Yeah, I think you kind of covered it. I was affected by layoffs with my employer at the time, mid last year, and since I've gotten a new gig and got my legs under me and got stable enough to be able to give resources back to the group. My new employer is also very stoked that to be able to help in any way they can. So yeah, excited to be back.
Cool. You want to just tell people who you're working for now?
Oh, I work for a company called Praetorian. We do offensive security, yeah, just a lot of red teaming security for Fortune 500 folks. And I also didn't mention I'm a designer. I'm going to be getting back into things, but a lot of the things I hope to be doing is transferring the website to a multi-user CMS, so fewer bottlenecks and give more people control over more parts of things, stuff like that.
Cool. So, Mike, just in terms of who I'm thinking you might want to reach out to, or vice versa for people here on the call, because I think a bunch of the people you should talk to are on the call. Ads is at least lurking on the call here. I think Ads is the one who's taken over the keys to the website. So you can coordinate there. Other person for you to definitely coordinate with is Jason, who's on the call. And Jason has done a lot of work to try and automate some of what you had to do on the 1.0 version of the list in terms of turning Markdown into PDF. But I think there's actually still a lot of room to help with the design element of that, but hopefully less of you copying and pasting. And then last, I don't remember if you and Aubrey overlapped, but Aubrey joined the group, took over from, I forgot her name, who was running PR for a while. So he's running PR and he has been continuing to recycle some of your social assets and things like that. And I know he'd be excited to work with you on more of those things. So just trying to make some connections there between folks to, think about how to bring you back into the group and leverage your talents. So welcome
Awesome.
back.
I'll reach out over Slack to people individually, try to get re up to speed.
Awesome. All right. Let's see. This is John.
I jumped queue. I thought Emmanuel has quite a few slides, so why don't I do initially? So an update for me. The main headlines the last week was that we are the number one security recommendation by the UK government generative AI framework, which I thought was a proof point of what you said at the beginning, Steve, that's, you know, we're ubiquitous in how people are referencing us. So I think we need to keep that high standard. I did a few workshops as part of my employment, but I always use LLM, and now I started including the checklist in the work that I do with customers on. And I did, and these are kind of, I don't want to mention names, but these are kind of large organizations, and they're very, very keen to also participate and sponsor. And I know, Jason, you have mentioned something about your employer doing something similar. So still something to take kind of as a conversation, a side conversation of how do we bring these people in, and do they participate just as individuals? Is there a value for us to explore different way of supporting us? So without compromising the neutrality of OWASP, I think that will be a good conversation to have. How do we engage with these people that are more interested than, you know, the average organization? But in general, you know, kind of a huge and enormous amount of interest. What came out of that is that what I said is that there is this view that overall, it redefines, you know, generative AI, because it generates things, it cannot be seen just as a security. You cannot say, well, I've produced something that potentially could create instructions how to breach my system, but it's okay because it was generated securely. So, you know, we kind of need to address those other topics. And I think ethics, safety, with generative AI become, or LLMs become the other side of the coin, but I do take Ad's point too, that you cannot be both broad and in depth. So we need to rethink, you know, that's a big challenge that I see, not just for us, but for everyone in this space. The NIST AI Safety Institute Consortium, it's, I don't know what's happening there, but it gets rescheduled. So not before February the 5th, I was told again, as soon as it's out, that includes Slack channels and the research works. I'd love people to participate and do work there, hands-on work. Something that I've been kind of tinkering, you know, before I go into that, someone who presents after me has done an enormous job on mapping different standards, and I don't want to steal their thunder, but I think other people have done similar work. Bob did, Sandy, I know Rob is doing, and I think, you know, kind of it's time for us to consolidate that and have them as, like we have with the checklist and everything else, as a reference material, team reference material, especially, you know, as we embark on 2.0. So I will set up a call to see how can we bring those resources together and create something that's a mapping artifact that's part of what we as group release and relates to AI Exchange and all that. So Sandy and Bob and the other person, you'll probably be part of my working group, and I'll reach out to you this week, and anyone else, I'll post on the channel. I also want to start, as part of my engagement, there is a Cyclone DX standard that brings the machine learning bomb. I want to start, like I did at the beginning with the engagement, talking to people and organizing calls, to start organizing calls with the vendors that we talk to and other standards organizations, see if we can actually review that AI BOM standards, bill of material standards, and create a reference implementation that demonstrates in action of how to incorporate that into benchmarking your LLMs. I think ultimately, and Steve, I talked to you directly, that should become, I think, a separate sub-project, the hands-on project. But, you know, let's start the conversations, and then we can kind of flesh it out a little bit more. And that's me.
Cool. Hey, a couple quick comments. Lots of hot topics here. On the Cyclone DX thing, definitely.
Watch out for John if he's starting sub-projects. I've learned that one.
What's that? I missed that. Sorry. What did you say there?
Oh, I think she froze. I'm sure she'll be back. Okay. But a couple comments. One, on the Cyclone DX thing, definitely keep me in the loop there. I wrote the supply chain management chapter of my LLM book in the last couple of weeks. And I really tried to talk up Cyclone DX as the answer there. And that's what I leaned on because it was the best thing available. But boy, is it kind of inadequate and poorly documented for that. So I really wound up making up a lot. I think there's a tremendous amount we could do with that group.
And Steve, that's the purpose. And of course, you will be included, like I did with the first round of engagement, where I included everyone in the various calls with people. It's basically a discovery set of calls to see what's the appetite of giving feedback to Cyclone DX, taking them through the journey, relating it to what we do, and making it actionable, which is an article of faith for us.
Cool. The other thing you mentioned was interfacing with some of the commercial companies and things that are out there. You know, people on the call here have mentioned their companies willing to support things. I've had a lot of other people reach out around the announcement of 2.0. One person who reached out to me is somebody who I worked with some many, many moons ago, which is Scott, who's on the call here. And Scott in particular had volunteered to lead some of the activities around interfacing with companies. I don't know, Scott, if you're in a place where you could come off mute and say hi and introduce yourself.
Sure. Happy to. So happy to introduce myself to the team. I'm Scott Clinton. I've been around the industry for a little while. As I mentioned, Steve mentioned, he and I worked together many moons ago at a little company called Sun. So since then, been doing a lot in the security space, as well as in the analytics and AI space. So part of the LLM and security pieces have been sort of a nexus for me. And then also been heavily involved with building commercial entities and working with startups right now and helping them build their businesses.
So, so Scott, I think you and I are going to talk soon, but we'll figure out how to get you formally introduced into the group. And then one of the things I was going to do anyway is introduce you to John. So if you guys want to figure out how to connect up, that would be great, because I think that's going to be one of the first connections to make. John's been interfacing incidentally with a lot of these commercial entities while leading some of the standards work. So I think it'd be great for you two to connect.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay.
John, I'll send out a note and we can find some time to connect.
Yeah, that'd be great. Good to meet you.
All right. So next up is Emmanuel. I asked him to come and share some about the sub team that he spun up and kind of where this group has gotten to, and talk about how we can leverage this as we jump into 2.0. So Emmanuel, the floor is yours.
Hi, everyone. So from the data gathering methodology front, yesterday I just updated our wiki, and some of which I'm going to speak today. It's everything there for now. I just want to give a plan overview of what we're trying to accomplish, show some diagrams and some ideas. And just in terms of our collaboration space is on our Slack channel, which you see over there. Well, in terms of some ideas and things that we need to consider before I start presenting the plan is some of the threats that we've been seeing, which were already mentioned here, in terms of bias, privacy, ethics, and also inaccuracies from real world data, and also from synthetic data, data that is fabricated and has been used into the models. Some of the trends, some domain specific versions that have been popping up on the finance industry and the health industry. So each large language models used for those industries, they pose a different threat landscape that needs to be considered. Adoption of open source models as well has been growing. The regs that have been growing more and more. AI versus AI, and it's growing the red teaming engagement. I've been observing more and more companies establishing red teaming exercise like threat modeling into their deployment. So just to prevent, because as it was presented by Steve survey, we see not a lot of developers fully understand the importance of secure by design principles when developing those large language models. And also, I want to point out some vulnerability databases that are out there. They're LVE Project.org, AI Risk, AI Vulnerability Database. And also, we know private companies, they have their own vulnerability databases as well. Some of which, if we can get into conversations and collaborations, and if they could share some of their data with us, I think that will be helpful to understand more what they're doing, what we are doing, and how we can work together to find solutions. So, Steve, if you may go to the next slide. So this is our 10-step roadmap for the data gathering methodology. So I've worked in the literature review and expert consultation. I completed a first version now for the mapping, which if you check on the chat, I just managed to map our top 10 vulnerabilities to the NIST cybersecurity framework, ISO, MITRE attacks, SIS controls, CVE, CWEs, FAIR, STRIDE, ENISA, ASVS, SAMM, MITRE, ATLAS, BSIMM, and OpenCRE. And I'll be expanding this. I'm pretty sure it's not very complete and in-depth, but my exercise was to come up with a mapping that points out to our list, and then it can refer back to all of each framework, and developers can find a useful resource when they are working on building their own models. So next phases is the ones that you're going to see there. I want to talk a little bit into details about all of them. So next slide, please, Steve. So we created a small diagram trying to understand how is the data flow in terms of upstream and downstream flow. So vulnerabilities are reported from those databases that I mentioned. They are also referred to the CVE, CWEs, and AVID, which then come to us, NIST, MITRE, ATLAS, and other bodies. And then that forms a feedback loop downstream, which when frameworks are created by these bodies, they go down to the developers. And if it becomes law, then the developers will need to incorporate that. And that forms a never-ending feedback loop that needs to be constantly updated. So I just try to come up with some simplistic idea to be easy to understand. But as far as we know, that's how the data is flowing in terms of the vulnerabilities we find on our list. The next slide, please. So the first step, what I mentioned, it's just pointing back to research and research that have been done, consulting and then doing a research in databases like Google Scholar, IEEE, and others, and ArcSig as well. And then just trying to point out different researches that have been done out that developers can be using to their models. So the mapping that I just commented, please, we are always looking for feedback. I'm not the owner of the truth. I know I can't see all the perspectives. And I think the beauty of our group is the collaborative effort that we have, bringing different spirits from different industries that it helps understand different sides of the coin. And then next slide, please. next one, we want to validate and get understanding on how we can create a feedback, and then also maybe creating some code that can be automated this data validation to the frameworks we map back. I think that will be some of the efforts we wanted to do and come up with our own risk assessment frameworks that will fully rely into the other framework that already exists. But I think what makes us unique is we're not tied to any specific private company. So then we can bring the diversity of our group and bringing our own perspective. Next one, please. Ethical considerations. I think in the development that we saw on the questionnaire there, very important. We need to come up with our own groups understanding about what should be ethically considered when building those models. And then review everything we've done. And next one, please. Compile and create a report to the work we've done in the data gathering methodology and disseminate our findings. All of those steps, they will have to be constantly updated. We know the speed on which things have been changing. And also, one of the efforts I haven't mentioned, but it will be important, it's also to create our own database with the vulnerabilities that are out in the wild. Some of the trends, some might not be even confirmed yet, but some developers and researchers, they are finding different vulnerabilities when building the models. So that's pretty much our overall idea of the work we were trying to do and accomplish. And please hop in on the bus and help us give our ideas, criticism, and I think our group will grow if we come together with our strengths and build something that can be useful. If anyone has any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
All right, questions or comments for Manuel?
Yeah, I believe this is really useful. Like we don't have this, like even like in the Cloud Security Alliance, we have the AI control group and also technology risk group. We don't have this kind of data gathering methodology. So we can certainly build upon this. Maybe the question is, Emmanuel, it's really good. When it will be, I know it's iterative, when it will be like a good enough stage that we can leverage.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. It's just, I think when I talked to Steve, one of the first things I told him, I said, Steve, I'm among a very high-level expert group. I really do feel imposter syndrome here, and I'm never sure of the things that I've done. And I even took a bit of a time to come up with the first draft of the mapping. So anyone who are interested in checking out the mappings that I came up with, just go and visit our wiki channel, which is in our main wiki. You're going to see a page for the data gathering, and then it's going to point out to the repo with all the different frameworks there. And then please, any comments and suggestions would be really appreciated.
One thing,
Emmanuel. Oh, go, Ken.
Sorry, yeah. So one thing, I think Sandy also is working with Kurt, right, from Cloud Security Alliance. He has a different matrix, but it's also similar approach, is using different vulnerability database, different source, and he has a spreadsheet as well, and trying to do the mapping. I think maybe somehow there should be cross organization effort here.
Yeah, Ken, you're exactly right. So I reached out to Kurt and said, hey, Emmanuel and Bob and I have been talking about this. There's no, you know, we shouldn't duplicate work. So we're staying connected. So that's my contribution to the Cloud Security Alliance right now, is just trying to make sure that if we're doing something that Kurt might find useful, I'm making sure that he has those resources.
Yeah, exactly. I think communication is key in all stages of whatever we're going to do, so we gain time instead of wasting. I just dropped on our chat the link to our GitHub. So anyone interested, just please have a look.
And I think, you know, that's the point I was making earlier on. I think it's great that everyone is doing all these things, but let's kind of try and consolidate them. I think what you have there, actually, Emmanuel, seems to have that place to consolidate. And I know, Sandy, you have worked with the spreadsheet, so it'd be good to have that conversation, say, what's the best way of allowing people to do their things, but have something in place that says, as a group, this is our mappings.
Yep. No, you're complete alignment with you, John and Ken, which is, hey, everyone's doing great stuff. Let's make sure that it's we can share what we can and cross map if there's an opportunity.
Great. I think if you guys can coordinate, that'll help a lot. I'll give one piece of advice to the group here as we embark on this. Emmanuel, this is similar to some advice I gave Sandy when she was starting the checklist, which is these things don't get done unless you time box them. And whenever we start something like this, you feel that imposter syndrome. When I started the original top 10 list, I knew nothing about LLM security. I barely knew anything about LLMs. And the only way that we got that out was by creating sets of deadlines that forced activity and forced publication. And I think what we've seen is even the very first versions of the top 10 list that were embarrassingly incomplete were far better than anything that was out there. The first version of the checklist was far better than anything that was out there. And even though Sandy knew all sorts of things she wanted to do, the reaction was very positive. So do some of your due diligence around doing some cross-group alignment here, but I would say also think really hard about a date not too far in the future where we would declare this, you know, pick a version number if it's 0.5 or 1.0 beta or whatever, as a way to get that out there, announce it, get a lot more eyeballs on it, maybe find people who want to start using or collaborating on it. I think if we can continue to drive that forward, then we can make it something we can base the project on. All right, let's see. Do we have any other leads? We got localization slides from Talesh.
Yeah. Just a short slide, not too much of an update. We're currently all heads on working right now, so this is one of those lulls between announcements of localizations. Italian and Spanish had some really good progress in the last couple of weeks, but I want to get Japanese and French fully reviewed, and then we'll time a second batch of localizations released sometime that works well with the 2.0 announcement. I'm aiming for Polish and Arabic for the third batch. And if anyone is willing to assist with additional languages for the third batch, there's still time to message me, hop on our Slack group, and we could include that language in the third batch, which should follow. The work we've done in translating the differences between version 1.0 and 1.1 means that we work with diffs between each of the top 10. So my hope is this would also translate into this would also carry over into 2.0. When we do launch 2.0, my hope is to follow with some languages very soon afterwards. And also Mike's back, and we have some new energy around automation of a markdown to PDF. So I'd be happy to collaborate with you guys, because we've written a bunch of code around that too and currently perfecting it. That's about all the updates from the localizations right now. As I said, it's a little bit of a lull in updates until we are ready to announce again.
Cool. What's your thinking about an ETA for, let's call it batch two?
I'd like to time that with you regarding the 2.0 announcement, when it you think it will be most effective, because I'm not 100% sure what are the timelines I'm aligning with at this point in time. What we did for the first batch seemed to work really well. We got that energy before the 2.0 announcement.
Okay. I mean, just to be clear with people in terms of timelines for 2.0, in terms of us having a deliverable that we're going to publish, we're months away from that. So I think pick a time. We'll pick a week that's clear for you to announce, but let me know kind of what an approximate time is there, and we'll map it out with Aubrey in terms of what makes sense for a launch. But I think you have clear air for a while.
Sounds good.
To get these 1.1 versions launched a long time before 2.0. Don't wait for 2.0. You'll be waiting forever, and it'll be a complete rewrite.
Sounds good.
Cool. All right. I think that's it. So anybody else on the call today have anything that they would like to bring up to the group?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Will working on the newsletter. You might have noticed I haven't sent out a newsletter in a little bit between like the holidays, and I've got new construction on my house. And then right now I've got like three of my kids and my wife with like flu and strep. So I've been a little busy, but I think we have a lot of announcements and things that we should get out here in the newsletter from, you know, Steve and Emmanuel and everyone's side. So I think there's a lot of great material here that we could put out this month. But if anybody else would like to collaborate on the newsletter, please reach out to me on Slack, and that'll make my life easier, and we can get them moving more regularly again.
Awesome. Anybody else? All right, team. Hey, lots of great progress. Exciting to see all the progress on the data gathering standards, localizations, really, really good stuff. So thanks everybody for putting in the effort. I think it's going to be exciting to embark in this next phase. So looking forward to working with you all this year and pushing the boundaries again. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Thanks for checking out our bi-weekly meeting podcast. If you'd like to stay up to date on all of the latest news for the OWASP Top 10 for Large Language Model Applications, please click subscribe. And of course, we'd appreciate it if you'd share with a friend to grow our community. We'll see you in 2 weeks.